Okay, you're probably wondering what this is all about, but first we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read a couple of verses real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and set the stage for what we're talking about. So 1 Corinthians 12:12, the Corinthians have had a little bit of conflict, a little bit of struggle. They are a team that we would call a church team, members of a body here. And so 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And so one of the things that we realize in this body of Christ, the church membership, is that there are many people that are there. Look at verse, we're going to jump all the way down to verse 18. But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. I think this is such a cool, this is one of the things you have to remember whenever you're working with teams. And especially if you're working in a church, but now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If any of you have kids who like Legos, you know what this is about. For whatever reason, seven-year-olds move their Legos around, put them in different piles. They set them, and then they put things together, and you're like, what is that? And they say with a big, that is a house, really. It has pleased them to put these pieces together and make this thing. Even though the box tells them what it's supposed to look like, they rarely do the way Lego pleases them. Now, some kids are very intent on whatever the box says. That's what they have to do. But many of them kind of do it the way it pleases them. God hath put He's put people in places on purpose. And he puts a bunch of them there. Let's look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And so he's basically saying, okay, it's not just one. There's a whole bunch of different ones. Look at verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body? So we see that there's a whole bunch of them that are there. And then verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I don't know how many times, for me, the solving of team problems involves the absence of a member of the team. You know, I'm like, you know, this would be a great place to work if these three people didn't work here. You know, in my mind, that's the solve. It's really simple. Let's just get rid of them. It's that easy. And yet he's letting us know here, we don't all get to be just like you. We don't all get to be just like me. We can't all be the same. Now the imagery here that goes on is just really amazing. Up there at the top, it talks about how, what if they were all one eye? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. That we actually need each one of these things. And we can't just be a giant eye. We can't just be a giant ear. It doesn't work that way. We're not looking for people all like you. We're actually all different. Got a whole bunch of them. God's put them in place. They're all needed, even the little ones. Verses 22 and 23 is talking about how even the ones that we don't really understand or realize, or the real small ones, those ones are all necessary. And then we see that God hath tempered, verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So we see here a kind of a conversation, a statement about a group of people that are working together towards one cause. So one of the things that happened during COVID, right, as COVID started, was that I said, I want to study something that I don't know much about. And teamwork is one of those ones that we talk about a lot, But do we really know kind of what's happening and what's going on? And most times we just kind of boil it down to we've got a communication problem or a trust problem. And we make it kind of simple like that. So I read a ton of books that deal with the concept of teamwork. So I just want to, and this isn't necessarily Bible. I think you're going to see biblical principles throughout that. But there's no chapter and verse that shows this little setup right here, but you are going to see how you will see chapter and verse on how things interact and the way that they go, and we just try to put a diagram here together to help us understand what's going on. So the first thing that I want us to know is that the two things that we have that we put together for this team is the concept of communication and contribution. So I want to know what can this person do for that team. And that is their contribution. The moment you contribute something, now I am going to end up, contribute means that I need to communicate. You guys all know what that's like. If you live with your wife, you know that you do something, plan something, and then you forget to tell her what you did, and somewhere along the way, you get in trouble for it. You're not getting in trouble for your contribution. You're getting in trouble for your lack of communication. You didn't you didn't say that. I'm amazed in my mind. If I'm in a meeting, the moment I make a decision, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing my job. But now it requires communication. I don't get to contribute without communication. Those two things kind of go together. Now, they are going together, and they're going to do something. And what we're going to call this is our challenge. It could be our purpose. It could be our problem. This team comes together, and contribution and communication is going to come together to do something. Now, that challenge can be lofty and wonderful and kind of a big thing, but also that challenge could be something that's pretty not that big a deal, that all of our communication and contribution is going to something that doesn't matter. So we can say, okay, I want to actually do something that, okay, boy, that it's going to matter. Like, that's going to be a big big thing if I'm able to do that. So I'm going to take my my challenge here, and I'm going to do something that's like, it's a cause bigger than just me. That's what I'm going to try to do, is make something that really is a big deal. So it's a challenge. We like, okay, this is, bigger than me. Is I think we like to live for a cause. We like to live for something that's big. But it's also possible that we can live for something that really doesn't matter. I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, my grandparents, it was always fun to go to my grandparents' house. They loved tile, put tile everywhere. The entire bathroom was tile. Like singing in that shower was wonderful. It was very loud. In that tile bathroom, they had one of those door stops. Now, I don't know about you, but this sound right here. That's a cool sound. I don't know why. Since I'm a little kid, when I would go into the bathroom at Grandma's house, yep. In the tile bathroom, all the way to the end. Yeah, that's a cool noise. Now I'm telling you, we can take all of our contribution and all of our communication, and we can live for the challenge of saying, my whole life is about making those sounds. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's cool. Look at, I'm going to work hard. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm amazed how many times that God has given us the ability to communicate and the ability to contribute. And what do? Oh, look at all the talent I have. Isn't that cool? You know, it's at some point, as a team, we have to say, what is this team together for? What are we trying to accomplish? What is the challenge? Because all this energy, all this strength, all this talent, all this ability that we bring to this, is it really for doorstop flipping? Or are we going to do something much bigger than that? And we have a devil who is going to tempt us to do things that really don't matter, that take an entire lifetime to do it. Right. You know what I mean? We spend a whole life, and it really doesn't matter. Oh, it's got feathers, and it's shiny, and it looks cool, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's not much different than a doorstop making sound that's kind of cool. I'm amazed how many guys waste time with video games. I mean, it's just, do I need to spend that much energy and time on that item right there? I like them. They're good. I just can't spend a whole life doing it. You know, it can't be everything that I am about. Now, when a professional team is putting together a team, they have kind of some combine that figures out, can this guy contribute? You know, they're going to interview this person. They're going to talk with them. They're going to figure out, can he communicate? But one of the things they're trying to figure out with this individual is, are they going to have the commitment that we are after? So our next thing that we've got going here is the concept of commitment. Now, commitment is kind of that internal decision that I'm going to actually go a direction, that I'm going to actually do something. The pastors in the room, I know that you can relate to this. You know that you have people in your congregation who have amazing abilities to contribute, pretty good communicators, but if they don't make the commitment to be part of what you're doing, they just sit in a pew. Many times the pastors in this room would be like, "Yeah, I wish I had the leverage of, say, a paycheck. But they don't. It's a volunteer sort of thing to say, I'm committed to what this team is trying to do. But those of you who are in the workplace, you know that really the only leverage that is that paycheck is the, I'm going to take it away from you if you don't do a better job. But honestly, even the people in the workforce are doing their job, or really, they're just, if they're not really committed, they're doing the bare minimum necessary to still get the paycheck. They're not really committed to that job. You would want to have a workforce that is committed to what you are doing, to the point that if I'm able to live beyond the bare minimum, I will. Bare minimum is a fine thing to understand. It's a fine thing to know, to say, a full day is this day, and then I can go home. But if we are committed to accomplishing this, and then it's going to take us a little longer, there's no problem with me. I'm fine with that. I've got a commitment to this situation. I believe that you can live together without commitment. Like there's two people who are living together who really aren't committed to each other. This is like a daily decision to say, I'm committed to this marriage. I am committed to this team, to this family that is here. And that's the decision that person makes. And it's unrelated to their contribution or communication. It's what happens there on the inside. But there's a really important next one that shows up here. And this is a big one that, as I was working through teamwork, it was not one that was, it's probably the surprise to me of the, I shouldn't have been surprised, but it was the one I didn't really put in place. And in fact, this wheel of the gear system has been all over the place. But this one is character. And the problem with booing team builders and trying to build teams and all of that sort of thing is that character can be faked for 30 minutes. Character can be faked for a week or two. You know what I mean? It's not real obvious. But character is massive when it comes to the team working or the team working together. So again, back to that professional team. is putting together their team. They're trying to figure out if their draft is going to be very good. They go to the combine to figure this out. They interview the guy to see if he's able to communicate. They talk to other people about the way he communicates. They find out if he's got commitment. All he can do is say that he would be. They've got to believe in his heart that he is. But the real question on whether or not they do well in the draft has little to do with this. A possible injury is going to impact that, but the real question is, when we give this guy $10 million a year, does he have the character to handle that? Does he have the character to get up each day in the morning and do the things that he needs to do to maintain his body, to work through his things? The character is the piece that we really begin to say, okay, they've got to have that, but that's totally up to them. What do they believe? Now, when I'm working with a team, I've got to ask myself, if I'm having trouble with a person on the team, which one of these areas is the problem? Because the difference here on these different areas, let's go back to our mechanic illustration. I don't want a mechanic that, when my car doesn't start, says, let's get a new engine. If the battery is bad, I'd rather replace the battery than the whole engine. Okay, so a really good mechanic, they're good at diagnosis. That's what makes a great mechanic, is that they kind of look at it, they try a couple of things, they throw out a couple of things, they get it narrowed down and say, okay, there's our problem. Why does that make such a good mechanic? Because he doesn't buy parts he doesn't need. He doesn't fix things that don't need to be fixed. He goes straight to the problem, diagnoses it, and says, this is what we've got to figure out. Now, when you look at these four things, if you have a team member on your team and they have a problem with different ones of these, it's totally different solutions. You're going to actually address and work with that person in a totally different way. This was like bulb turn on, light turn on for me, is because if I am beginning to treat a person like they have a character problem, when what they really have is a contribution problem, I've totally misread them. That is demoralizing. For a person with good character, for that character to be questioned because they're not able to contribute to the level that is necessary. This one is a little bit easier to grow, contribution, but there are limits. So in other words, when you're in a team, you got a brand new person that's in there, they've got a learning curve, you know, on that team. They're trying to figure out how to contribute. They're trying to figure out how this organization kind of works, how the team, what the best ways are to contribute. And so they're trying to figure that out. That can grow somewhat. This is kind of like a on-off switch. There is a little bit of a maybe in there where they're trying to figure out commitment, but commitment really is kind of boils down to a yes or no that is going on there. But you'll also, to the level of commitment, sometimes it's a yes or no just to a certain point. So sometimes we get frustrated with a person who's made a commitment. They've committed an hour to this, but they haven't committed 10 hours to it. They're great on their commitment of 1 hour, but not what we're wanting of 10 hours. We've got to be understanding of that. That person has made a commitment to a certain point. There's only so much that they are able to commit. I've got one situation where it seems like a person is willing to commit to anything that's about 3 months out. If I ask them 3 months out, could you do this? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. But somewhere about a week out, oh, boy, I'm not gonna be able to do that. Why didn't you tell me that three months ago? Great commitment 3 months ago. But somehow when we get to the moment, there's no commitment. Now, the question, is that a commitment problem or is that a character problem?
Sounds like a communication problem.
Or it could be a communication problem. See what I'm saying? We've got that one little scenario. And in order for me to figure this out and to sit down and talk with this person, I got to figure out where that is. I got to diagnose to that problem. And it could be any one of those three, but the way I handle it, the way I work with that person is going to be different. Now, once this group kind of puts this together, because we've got to keep on moving here. Once this group puts all this together, what the team is trying to accomplish right here is some sort of change. They are after change. And we didn't put the team together just to keep everything the same. We want there to be some kind of change that's going to take place. And so the change is usually some form of a step towards accomplishing the challenge. Okay, so in a home, a parent may be wanting that junior hire to change, and they're trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to help that kid change? And they're going to figure out their communication contribution. They're committed. They're not going to just do whatever they feel like. We want to change something. Sometimes a team is put together to accomplish something. They're starting to take little steps, but eventually we want, boy, as I start to communicate, as I start to contribute, I am beginning to see change actually happen. Now, here's what's interesting. The moment change starts, the moment the team starts to work, immediately you need to expect that there's something coming. And this is the biggest gear of the whole bunch. And it's interesting because this gear is kind of off to the side. It's not necessary to make this happen. It's going to take place. That gear right there is conflict. as much as we're like, you know, I want to put a team together that when we do our work, we're just not going to have any conflict. Doesn't happen. Let me illustrate this with a, here at camp, the Tin Toad, our food truck. We had a meeting way down at way back in February, and or even before that, probably would have been November. And the ministry bound team says, "Let's build a food truck. They do something for the staff, and so we're just going to take a morning breakfast to them in March. We're going to set up like a little truck where we can serve food." And we're like, "Okay, yeah, that sounds great." I happen to be in the meeting, so I have the ability to contribute more than what just the ministry bound team has. I'm able to sit there and say, "Well, you know what? We've got an old 53 Chevy out back. Why don't we just take the flatbed of that? Why don't we use that?" And they're like, "Oh, cool. Now we've got part of our team is somebody who can take something out of the junkyard and use that." So we start to talk about all of the things that we want to do or make. And I'm realizing, you know, we could use this food truck in a lot of different places here at camp. Like, that would be a fun thing to have. So we put a few thousand dollars into it, and we started working on it. And the food truck was just, everybody's going to love that. That is going to be a great idea. But the moment we start putting it together, we're like, "This is going to be good." Conflict happens because some people are like, "Yeah, but if the food truck is down here, how are we going to clean up before the chapel service? We can't have the food truck down here. It's got to be somewhere where, because we've got to clean. Now all the people are going to be there." And wait a minute, if we have to have a food truck, that means that that our kitchen, we don't get to use all of our normal tools. And as cool as the food truck looks, it doesn't have the tools that our kitchen have. I'm not sure we really want to go out there. And then the first time that we did this little English muffin. And everybody's like, "Okay, that's cool." I'm like, "No, that's not a food truck. You got to go up to a food truck and order something. I want 3 English muffins." Oh, man. Now the kitchen is mad at me. You know, what started out as this wonderful, great idea, everybody was happy about it. When you start implementing it, when you start doing it, everybody's a critic. There's, "I don't know, this isn't gonna, you really think we should spend all that money on that?" Conflict happens. This conflict is internal and external. The book of Nehemiah is really good on this concept, that the moment you're trying to change something, that you're gonna see internal and external conflict. Again, you treat those differently. But one of the things that was helpful for me was to realize the moment I communicate, I am moving these gears. And the moment I communicate, conflict is part of the process. And I just need to work through it. So if you've got it in your mind, I want to be on team, but I don't want to have any conflict, doesn't happen. It is part of what the team works through. And it kind of helps if you just expect it. Like this is coming. And it's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes this internal conflict is actually a pretty good growing process. Sometimes this conflict is actually the way that a person is contributing. Now, they can do conflict in an improper way that hurts the team. But conflict is a form of this communication contribution that we actually need to kind of work through and talk through what it is. So on the food truck, we were really struggling with we needed to deliver about 120 meals an hour to make this thing work. And so 120 to 150. So we were like, how are we going to deliver food? When we get the order, we were going to set it down on a bench. And unfortunately, my wife had watched one of these food truck shows. And she's like, I saw a slide on one. That looked really cool. Like, no, we're not going to build a slide. I mean, that's like centrifugal force and gravity and engineering. That's not going to work. And so Cindy's contribution was shot down immediately. And I'm sitting down with the guys, and we're dealing with this conflict of we cannot get the food out fast enough. Like we need to set that down, but the guy's got to do the reach thing. And I'm just laughing about it. And I'm like, my wife wants us to build a slide. Isn't that funny? And the guys are like, ha ha. And I had to go meet with somebody, and I came back an hour later, and the guys are halfway done with a slide. I'm like, guys, this was a joke. I don't know. It could work. We saved one of the sandwiches from the week before, and we're testing it out. So for a week, we tested this little down the slide and re-welded that and changed that thing and put. I mean, a whole bunch. We weren't engineers like we planned it before. We were engineers like, no, that didn't work. Change that. Nope, that didn't work. Change that. That's the way engineers would have all started. In that conflict, we say, no, there's no way. But then we start working through it, and the team is actually making change happen with conflict. Like we're handling conflict right. That's a good thing. Now, it's possible for us to handle conflict incorrectly, and that might be a character problem. That might be a communication problem. But I'm okay with conflict. I really am. There are some meetings we do here at Ironwood that are just informational meetings, and you're getting it across. And then there are some meetings where we gather together, and we're working through something. A person who's always been in an Ironwood informational meeting, they like think they're all nice and you just share announcements. And then they get in those meetings where we're actually changing something, which is going to create conflict, and we've got to make a decision. They're like, oh, you guys were like arguing. No, really just kind of debating. We laugh about it, but if we believe something or have something in our mind, we're going to communicate. I don't want to walk out of one of those meetings saying, I needed to say that, but I wasn't going to. No, it was my job to communicate in that meeting what I believed. And that was different than what somebody else believed. But that's what we needed to work through together. So we could talk about conflict for a long time. This other one that we've got right here are all the cogs. So we've got our medium cog right here, and we've got our small cog here, and they just get bigger and bigger along the way until at some point we've got our extra large cog right here. Now, these things that are working through, it's almost like all of these are miniatures of these, like if we broke it all up. And this is where we really have to pay attention to this, because we are trying to do something. We are trying to make something happen. We're trying to do a challenge that is worth the effort. But the thing is, if I take the little one out, I can't do it. But if I take the big one out, same problem. Every one of these cogs are necessary for the system to work. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians 12, is that you've got these members that are all put together, and whether it's this little one right here or this big one right here, I can sit there with a team and say, okay, which one do you want? I need both of them. I don't need just one or the other. I need the whole body in order for this to work. Now, I thought that when I put all this together, that I was just going to go cut this on a bandsaw. I thought that I was just going to make all these gears and put them all together. But here's the deal. I didn't realize it. These cogs all look alike, but this cog is way, way different than this cog right here. It's hard to tell the difference, but these valleys right here, the teeth that are right there, those are a different shape. I started trying to put it together and figure it out and how it would all work and not bind on itself. You know what I mean? I wanted it to all be able to work and not bind. And I realized the math on these cogs is unbelievable. I found some guy back east who made these on his CNC or his laser thing. And I said, how did you make the gears? And he's like, I'm a math major. Took me about a week, and I gave up and called my other guys. I'm like, okay, I flunked out of Algebra 2. And he's like, well, I went all the way through Calc 3, all that stuff. There are some hard things that know exactly what to do there. It all kind of looks simple, and at first I'm like, what's the big deal on one of these? It's just an up-down, like that's how I make a whole bunch of them around a circle and cut that out. It's not. This cog is so much different than this one right here, and you don't notice it until they're right next to each other, and you realize, huh. These things, that like, in order for them to work together, they have been joined by design. That's what God said there. He's the designer that put it all together to work. Now, we're a little clunky, and we kind of look at other people and like, let's just have seven of these. No. Some of the little guys are like, yeah, let's get together. No. I need all of them. All of the cogs, all of the team, to be able to say, okay, this allows me to do something that is going to make a difference for all of eternity. And I want this team to do something, to accomplish something that actually matters. I don't want the team to all be about that, as fun as that might be. Now let me hand out a booklet. Now, Dave, maybe you can hand out this to everybody here. So you're going to get a little booklet here that on the last page has the whole diagram there, so you're all set. And then each page thereafter has a few words and some references, some passages that will go with each one of those sections right there. If you want to get into a little bit deeper, we could actually take an entire session and deal with any one of these concepts. But we want to see the whole concept to kind of understand what's going on. Back to our Bibles, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you still have your Bibles, let's look at what he says. Because remember, he just talked about team. So verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What's he just talking about right there? He's saying, if you were amazingly able to communicate, what if you knew the language of angels? What if you could just speak with the tongues of men and of angels? What if you knew every language that the world had to offer? I mean, there's a good communicator, translator. That's Google Translate right there. You are set to go. What if you were amazing at communication? Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all ministries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have no charity, I am nothing. What's he talking about there? What is my ability to contribute? What if I could do that? Wouldn't that be amazing? Look at verse 3. And now I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, there is some serious commitment. There is a person who's willing to give everything that they've got, but I don't have charity. Verse 4. And then it begins to tell us what this love is. Charity suffereth long and is kind. So, as a team member, the character that I'm going to have to love one another means that I'm going to be patient, long-suffering. I'm not going to give up on people. I'm not going to try to just get rid of them. And I'm kind. I'm useful. I'm gentle. Not harsh. Because the hard part of all of this is that we do have to interact. We do have to communicate with each other. We have to work through the conflict together. So is the fact that Wayne's not here today hard on this team? Yeah. Somebody's got to jump in and fill his spot and do his things. And then his wife is going to not be really part of this thing. This is a hard day to pull off because a member of your team is hurting. But I want to be kind, gentle, patient. It is so easy when you have leadership roles that sometimes you just want to be like, let's just start over. I need a new group. We could just get rid of them. But you can't. You want to, I know. I was talking with a guy a couple of days ago, and I said, the thing that I have to protect really big in my heart is that each one of the people on my team are part of the team. Because every now and then they do things that make me think, they're on a different team. They're not on this team. Why did they do that? But I have to have a belief that they're on this team. I'm going to sit down and talk with them, ask them questions about all of these things and about how they handled this. Like I just want to keep them there on that team, if at all possible. Now, it is possible that there are people who are living for something totally different than this. We don't really have time to kind of develop it, but the reality is that each one of these groups have some of their own challenges they're trying to figure out. God didn't just give us one challenge, not only one thing that we have to worry about. There are challenges and goals with our family, challenges and goals with work, at church. Like, there's a whole bunch of them. It's like these challenges are just stuffed everywhere. And I have to make sure that I am not doing the ones that don't matter, and I have to keep making effort at the ones that do. And that's a constant maintenance of, okay, I want to make sure I'm working on the right challenges, the right thoughts, and what happens. So we've got about 10 minutes or so that we can kick out some questions or some ideas or thoughts, what makes this, when we put this together, how this would help you in your work area, maybe your church area. So anybody got any thoughts or anything that they'd like to add?
Uh-huh. One of the areas that I've been challenged with is conflict. I've actually had people say you can't fire a volunteer, but you can. And sometimes you have to remove that individual. But it's working through the conflict to try to figure out, okay, what is bringing that person to the level of that they have to feel they inject so much conflict that it really slows down the process.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that really is the diagnosis, because if they're creating conflict, my first thing that I always go to is what are you with us in what we're trying to accomplish? Like, are you trying to accomplish this challenge? Here at Ironwood, this is, you know, we have a mission statement that's what we're about. It's not like this obvious scoreboard that's easy to know. You know, when you're playing basketball, you want to win, and therefore you have a score, and you know how well you're doing. In some of the spiritual things, you have a challenge or something that you're trying to do, but you easily lose sight of it. So people can lose sight of what they're doing fairly quickly. I've always got to bring this kind of in front of them. That's my first one, to just make sure that we're on going the right direction. But then I'm going to ask questions, because sometimes I really am surprised how many times conflict happens because I've put a person in too deep a water that they and they're faking it. You know what I mean? They're trying to do something that they really don't know how to do. And it creates conflict because maybe it's pride, and that would be, you know, up to character, but they're really trying to contribute. They're trying to be part of the challenge, but they didn't just say, you know what, I'm not capable of doing that. So I'm kind of assume the best, and do we have a contribution problem? I'm making my way to character usually last, because if I have one of these other problems, I want to have not question, I'm going to assume the best about their character. But if I can knock out all these other ones and I get it narrowed down to character, okay. Because character is like having an engine problem. it's a big problem that this person is going to have to really work at in order to be able to stay on this team.
The administrator says, okay, you've got a lot of work to do, but just remember this, the pastor has champagne taste, and we have a beer budget, so you've got to be really, really careful where you tread. And that's, it's a difficult place.
Yeah, what
I'm getting to is that there are needs, and then there's wants.
Yeah, and... what you're talking about there is just a communication of a philosophy of ministry, kind of what you're going to try to accomplish. I find that a lot of people don't do a whole lot of communication about each other's contribution. Like, we kind of avoid that. It's like an evaluation that I only want to talk about at a later time. We do a thing here in our program meeting where we have a debrief and we tell each other. This is where we tell on each other. This is when we admit that we did something wrong. This is where we talk about the way we contributed. And if we'll kind of open that up and not kind of set that off to this, man, I wish they wouldn't do that. I want to actually say that in a meeting. Man, I wish you wouldn't do that. And it feels awkward at first, like, but when you are open to communicate about contribution, it's very helpful. And to kind of suppress that is gonna be harmful. Good. Yep. Ben.
Is commitment to is that directly related to a vision, seeing in the church? If you have if the church members don't know the vision, is there a lack of commitment, or if there's a high vision, is there more commitment?
So it's the commitment. When we're talking about vision, we are needing to put a few pieces together. We're needing to put communication and the challenge together. Where are we trying to go? What are we trying to do? A dreamer, when a dreamer is putting vision together, they are putting something so big out there that we're like, yeah, I really like that. I would say that a visionary is the person who can put that same thing out there, but then he can show you some of the steps that get you to that point. Now, as a person who's sitting in the audience thinking about whether or not I'm going to commit to this thing, I need a pretty good communicator who communicates a challenge that isn't just up here, but shows me a few of these pieces to get there. He doesn't have to show me everything, but I'd rather not follow a dreamer. I'd rather follow a visionary. But once that person communicates this challenge well, It comes back to the individual to choose. So it's not always, I have not always done a poor job of being visionary or showing somewhere, if, because really a person has to choose whether that's what they want to be a part of. And I do believe, especially in the pastors, in the spiritual realm, you have to look at what your team can do and what your commitment level is and adjust what you're going to try to accomplish. You don't, just by putting this up on the board doesn't mean, oh, now we can do that. If our church doesn't actually have the ability, the gift set to contribute that, not going to happen. It's like the little church of 30 saying, we're going to open a college. Do you have any good teachers? No, but we want to open a college. Sounds good. I read about it in a book. And they're going to try to do something. You're like, no. You have to, it still has to fit. So I think sometimes the leader steps back, looks at the group that he has, what God's given him, and says, you know what, in these next 5 years, this would be a good challenge for us. This would fit where we are at. And he's not just willy-nilly throwing something against the wall that sounds impressive. So, good. Yep.
I've had sometimes where conflict comes because someone is seemingly so committed that they're trying to do everyone's job but their own. And I'm not sure what to do because they're getting a lot done. It's just not their job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem with a person who's really struggling with this this thing right here. There can be a number of reasons they're doing that. Some people are like, well, if a job is going to get done right, I'm the only one who can do it. And that's unfortunate because God did not make us one person who does all the work. He puts us in teams on purpose. So God puts us in governments. He puts us in families. He puts us as a couple. He puts us in church teams. So you just don't see where things are accomplished in work without there being multiple people. So he is going to have to step back and recognize that his contribution is going to be limited. Now, he can be a much bigger wheel than some, but there is a limit to how much he can do, and so that's a tough spot.
Doesn't all of these has to be formed in the leader's mind already, and to a certain extent, does all this have to happen at each individual, at least to a part?
You mean in?
I'm talking about the whole mechanism. Doesn't that have to be a part of each person?
No, I really think this part is the part of each person. And like this part right here is made up all in each person right here. We were trying to diagram what teamwork kind of looks like. So it's like this person and these people, they are affecting change, which creates conflict. But it's like a team creates change and conflict and accomplishes its purpose all at the same time. Like it's doing that all together. Does that make sense or not? No? Not quite. So in each person, I believe you only see these things. Yeah, these right here. And these people then begin to impact these other areas. These represent almost like people. And that you have to have multiple people to get your challenge accomplished. That's a good question. Is that a comment or you? Nope. Yeah, I thought you were going to.
Just think about the conflict. And you almost need another conflict cog.
Yeah, where are you going to put it?
That connects character, communication, and commitment down there. You know, because you have conflict because of the change of accomplishing the challenge, like your slide, you know, and solving that solution. But some of what you're talking about in conflict is interpersonal conflict that can or cannot affect challenge is being accomplished, but it's not the same kind of conflict.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yes. And we threw the conflict cog around several places, like as we were putting it together. And for the simplicity of the overview, we just drew a line through the middle and said there's internal conflict and there's external conflict. And those are two different gears, but we didn't represent it here, but we just knew that it was outside of, it was outside of the, it's interesting because conflict, is it part of the critical path of getting to here, or is it kind of outside of the critical path of getting here? And we came to the answer that was yes. We put it on the board outside of the critical path, like, in other words, that could be,
an excess load.
It could be taken off, and it wouldn't be seen. You see that at times when a team is really working well, they've kind of worked through the conflict, and it's almost like they're working without that conflict. But the reality is, circumstances, the devil, weather, health, boom! It's like we're running conflict free for 32 seconds. Boom! Oh man. We almost had a minute there without conflict. So then it comes back at us.
But if you've got character flaws, I mean, you know, you've got character challenges, things like that, that's a completely different kind of conflict.
Yes.
But it's still affecting the entire...
On this one, on character, we want to just divide this up because, like, every one of these is a different character trait. And one of the fun things about the illustration is that, you know, if a person has a character flaw and it's just one... You feel it whenever you hit clunk clunk, you know, but you're still running clunk clunk, clunk clunk. But man, if you're slipping five or six of them, it's that starter that gets stuck in that spot. You know, you got to jam it to get it off of that spot. So the more character flaws there are, the more you're really feeling it as the team. And again, this is why we do discipleship. This is the one that character flaw. This is the one that we can really change. God really has given you some contribution limits. You know, he's gifted you in certain ways. You do have limits there, but we can keep on working on our character all of our life and become a better team member.
One more thing.
Sorry. Yep.
When you find somebody who's willing to almost kill themselves to do the job, really going at it, and it creates conflict at home because the guy's always working.
Yep. So what you have there is you have a commitment to one thing to the point that that's becoming the God of that person's life, and that is an incorrect. God has given us a number of challenges that we need to do. We are to love our wives. We are to train our children. We're to nourish our children. We're to care for one another. We are to be involved in our government. There's all these things. This is the way I'm obedient to God. If I take any one of those things and make them more important, then this thing that we're trying to do, it ends up there. And that's not what I'm trying to do. Last, yeah, yep, mm-hmm. Yep. That was my problem. Last thing, and we didn't set it on the board, would be this one right here, and you see it in the book. This is the conclusion thing, and this is plugged into a totally different power source than this right here. So, in other words, in the conclusion of everything, it's not dependent upon me or my team. God knows the end. He is the one who puts all of this together. Sometimes we give our team way too much credit we are not the ones that are the end all. We know that we are more than conquerors, not because of our team, but because of our God. And he's got the conclusion all wrapped up, which gives me hope because I work on some teams. I wish we had more contribution. I wish my character was just a little bit better. The change that we're affecting just doesn't seem to be that big. But thankfully, we serve a really big God. Thanks for coming to this session. I hope that you got something that you could use. You are dismissed. And the store is open.